Being part of the Catholic Church, you have to learn that we have to go with the flow sometimes. So if you look on your schedule, you will see February 2nd, we had a breakfast that we're going to do a fundraiser for our retreat. It has now been changed to the following Sunday, February 9th. So just 1 week later. So February 2nd is now February 9th. And like I said, it's going to be a fundraising breakfast for your retreat. So anybody that helps us out and works with us in the morning, you'll get a deduction off the retreat fee that we have. That's the only fee that we have for this whole program.
Okay, now that's a positive. That's not the only reason we're having a breakfast. That's just a fundraiser.
Right.
So we, once a month, have some sort of a breakfast so that it's a way for fellowship and faith building and sharing lives. So people come over after Mass and they can sit down and have a meal. Different groups will take different times, and then they either cover the cost. We're going to get, Diane's going to explain, we're going to get the materials donated, so hopefully all of what people, for buying a ticket, donate will go to our retreat.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, okay. Add that to your schedule. Yeah, so February 9th is a Sunday, and that's going to be our breakfast. And as we get closer, we'll talk about, we'll get some schedules out and see who wants to work, how many hours and stuff. It's going to just be the morning masses, 8, 9:30, and 11:30, or 11 o'clock. So we'll be done around noon, 12:30. I'm going to serve pancakes, eggs, and bacon. Juice.
What time is it?
We'll start after the 8 o'clock mass. Yeah. All right, and also a reminder, I have the snack sign up for this half of the year. So remember last year we had a sign up for snacks? I've got a snack sign up again. We have a few more classes in here, so there's a few more lines. But if you are willing, or a couple of you are willing to come together and bring snacks, all we need is just a few couple snacks to feed us. We provide the drinks and the plates and the forks and all that. I'd bring some fruit, some veggies, some cookies, or whatever you feel like having. Sign up, and then you can bring the snacks. And then also, for anybody that has been new, I don't think we've mentioned this for a while, I always have a book library in the back, and that is for you to just browse around and see if there's anything that's interesting to you. Pick it up, put your name on the list, and then just bring it back when you get done reading it. I try to keep things updated. I'm going to be bringing some social justice stuff. I think there's a few morality stuff back there. I'll bring some social justice books out in a couple of weeks when we go through that. But any questions about anything? And then get your baptismal forms in, your sponsors' records in. I think I've talked to most of you guys tonight. And you'll see me with carried around my little pad. All right.
All right, since you have your calendars out too, by the way, I will make this change online to add this date that's not on there. The 9th. Look at March 1st. So March 1st, there's two entries on the calendar. The first one is enrolling the catechumens and candidates called to conversion. We all will go to 11 o'clock mass there. I'll explain what specifically it's going to happen another time because we're going to run out of time tonight. But the catechumens will be, there'll be something specific at that mass involving catechumens, meaning those who aren't baptized, and candidates, there'll be something at that mass as well. So you know how we have the rite of acceptance, right? So we'll come at that mass and there will be something particularly going on at that mass. Now, later in that day is the rite of election, and it says catechumens. So I'll explain again exactly what's happening there, but everyone who's a catechumen has to be there because Bishop Barron's going to be there for that rite. And we've talked a little bit about what that rite is, but we'll talk about it more as we get closer.
What day was
that, I'm sorry? It's on the calendar. It's March 1st. So you'll be at the 11 o'clock mass, go get some lunch, come back. You're going to come back at 1:30. Now we're asking all the candidates, if at all possible, as many of you as possible, those who are already baptized, that are getting ready for other sacraments, to come at 2 o'clock too, and help us host, because what you see on your calendar is to be determined, TBD. Well, it's at 2 o'clock and we're hosting it at our parish, which makes it very convenient for us, okay? But it means we're hosting usually 12 to 15 other parishes coming. And so what we want our candidates to do would be to help at the doors, greet people as they come in, welcome them, and hand them a worship aid, okay? So very important for everybody. Can you carve that day out? Candidates, you got to be at 11 o'clock Mass. If you can't be at 2 o'clock, we'll be understanding. But catechumens, again, we need to be above. Super important. Okay? Questions?
What's the sponsor going to be there?
Yes. For the catechumen. Okay. At the rite of election, you need your sponsor there. If you don't have a sponsor, then someone from the team is going to have to step in as a proxy and cover for your sponsor. Okay? That's thank you. That's very important. 11 o'clock Mass, if you can have your sponsor there, catechumen or candidate, that's great. Not required, but great. Okay. Any other questions? All right. So, be honest with me. How many of you enjoyed the first half of this evening? Okay. How many of you felt it was a lot of information to process at one time? You okay? Okay. If you look at your calendar, we have 3 weeks in a row where we're going to concentrate on morality. And then 3 weeks we're going to concentrate on social justice. Okay? Tonight is laying the groundwork, the foundation, for understanding exactly what we mean about living a Christian moral life. The next 2 weeks, we're going to be focusing on really difficult moral issues that are hot-button issues in our society. And we're going to look at them through the eyes of faith. What do we believe as church, the people of God? Not just what does the church teach us. What do we believe based on this life relationship, this sacramental relationship, and living it faithfully? And why do we believe that? And oftentimes our beliefs don't match up with the culture we live in. And the culture is telling us we're wrong. Oftentimes the culture doesn't understand why we believe what we believe. Sometimes they do and they don't care. All right. But if we don't understand why we believe, and we just say, oh, because I'm Catholic, then when somebody challenges you, well, I believe because of this, what do you believe? Because I'm Catholic. Really? We want a mature relationship with God. We're adults. And so to do that, we have to have knowledge first, right? We talked about that. And then we have to understand how we live that. So those are going to be really interesting evenings. I guarantee you. All right. That's good for me to say this to the team again. Remember, that's not just me doing that evening. So the email that I'm going to send out, we'll talk about that too. And some of you helped lead parts of that. So I'm going to ask for help with that too. So you'll know the three subjects next week. And then the week after that, anyone wants to jump in and take lead on leading that before the conversation, I'd appreciate it. You may get tired of hearing me talk all the time. All right?
No.
Good to go? All right. We're going to run through this a little bit more quickly, but I think these are terms that you're familiar with. But again, we want to look at them from a Christian perspective, not just a general perspective of what these terms mean. So, we're talking about right and wrong. How do you know right or wrong? The term we use is conscience. And so conscience can mean lots of things. What we want to focus on is being true to our deepest self. That's our definition of conscience. So what is it? Well, you know, when we're children, it's Jiminy Cricket, right? On your shoulder, telling you the right thing to do. You either listen or you don't. Well, is it an inner voice? That's another way that we might describe it. It's actually not something we are. It's not something we have. It's something we are. So that inner voice that we listen to is really the truth of how God made us in the image and likeness of God. Christian, know your dignity. Okay. Live that dignity and respect that dignity in others. It's going to be at the heart of these issues that we're going to take a look at. Upbringing's important. I know these are some older shows, got one newer one there. But all these shows, these sitcoms we have, or sometimes dramas, that are family-based, you get an idea what the family's values are, right? So we got Cosby in the 80s and Full House in the 80s, Home Improvement was the 90s, Modern Family, okay? Now, would you think that Modern Family, everything that is portrayed in that sitcom is 100% in line with being true to our deepest self as we see it as Christians? The answer is no. But there's some really good stuff still in that show. The problem is it's all mixed up with a lot of different things that are cultural morals that aren't Christian morals. But the fact that family is most important, that's a really deeply Christian moral. Okay? So part of living in our society is society's morals sometimes line up with being true to our deepest self, and sometimes doesn't. And sometimes it can seem like gray. How do we get clarity so we know black and white? We always go back to this. living according to the truth of our deepest self. Okay? Pope John Paul II said about conscience, following your conscience is not an invitation to do whatever you want to do. That's licentiousness. That's what our culture tends to promote. It's not doing whatever you want to do. It's doing what we were created to be and being faithful to that. Okay? All right, can't talk about morality without talking about sin. Now, sin's not a popular topic in our culture for all kinds of reasons that we could get into and have interesting conversations, but we don't have time tonight. But sin is definitely part of the vocabulary for Christians, right? So we talked about what morality is. What's sin?
Anything that separates us from God.
Oh, good definition. Anything that separates us from God. Why is that a good definition? Okay. I don't disagree. Let me give you a hint. That's a great definition because it's a sacramental definition. Can you remember when we talked about one of the sacraments? And the definition is doing something that separates you from God or begins the process of you turning away from... What sacrament are we talking about? Right. And for those who are new or weren't there that day, we did a little demonstration up here, did we not? Right? And living true to who we are in right relationship with God and standing eye to eye with God. Because God's always gazing on us with love and seeing deep down to the core of the goodness of who we are, even beyond the things that aren't consistent, you know, when we're not loving or we're self-centered or we sin. God recognizes that, but he doesn't concentrate on that. He looks lovingly at his beloved son and daughter. Sin is when we begin to turn from God's gaze. Little sins, you turn a little bit. Mortal sins, big sins, you actually turn away from God. You turn your back on God. We choose to separate from God. God never chooses that. God's just waiting for us to come back, to turn back to him, to want to be in relationship with God again. So sin does that. Okay? Sin is choosing something other than God. And then it results in us being turning from God or being separated from God. So if God is love, our opening prayer again, sin is choosing something other than love, other than God. And the dramatic result of that is the opposite of love, which is the opposite of good, which is evil. And evil is not God's creation. Evil is a result of human beings choosing something other than God. So when people would argue, I don't believe in God because, you know, if you're loving God, why would there be evil? Well, if you have the perspective we have from Scripture, who's responsible for evil? It's not God. Why would God allow that? Because God wants a truly loving relationship. And a real love relationship means total freedom to choose to love or not. And when we exercise that freedom to the worst, we bring evil into the world and we support evil in the world. Okay? So what's the connection between sin and morality? I think we just made that, right? So there's different ways in Christian tradition of talking about sin. And one of the earliest is using language of archery. Sin is missing the mark. Okay? We know what the target is. We love God with our whole mind, our whole soul, right? But we do that by loving each other in the presence of God that's in each other. Well, sin is not always just turning our back on God. It's missing the mark. Sometimes you're closer to the bullseye. Sometimes you miss the whole target altogether, right? That's one way of looking at sin. Okay. Part of why a lot of people say, well, we don't believe in what the church teaches about sin is because maybe their understanding of morality and sin is all guilt-based. That's not where God's coming from. Sometimes we raise our kids that way. Don't do that. You'll make mommy sad. Don't do that. Daddy will be upset. That's not a love relationship. I mean, which of our parents maybe haven't fallen into that sometimes? But we know deep down in our heart, that's not the way we raise our kids, right? That's not the relationship God wants to have with us. God doesn't want to guilt us into relationship, into love. So these kinds of ways of looking at sin and morality, it keeps us responsible. It's our choice. It's our responsibility. And we need to be a part of the solution, the reconciliation. And guilt has a purpose. It wakes us up. I'm feeling guilty. Why? Because I did something wrong. All right, now, fix it.
Don't stay in the guilt. Don't wallow in the guilt. That's not healthy.
Okay. Here's another way. This was in a recent reading, and it's going to come up again in our readings here in the next week. Sin is a hardness of heart. Think about that. A hardness of heart. The Catechism of the Catholic Church uses the metaphor, grace is like water, and a hard heart is like a rock. The water just rolls over it, but doesn't penetrate deeply into the rock because of the hard exterior. It's our choice when we close our heart and make it hard. It's not that God's grace isn't wanting to flood into our hearts. We have to make our hearts soft. We have to open up our hearts and allow that grace to come in. We have to make that choice. A hard heart is a failure to be human. A hard heart resists or rejects love. And what we're rejecting isn't just God's gift. We're rejecting our own self. We're not being true to ourselves. Again, that definition of morality. So, for Christians, it's not about being guilty. It's about admitting when we have chosen to be self-centered or to reject God or to not treat people with dignity or however you want to say it. It's naming our sin. Okay, I did that. I own that. And then being responsible for it. If we deny the presence of sin in our lives, then we deny our responsibility for our own actions. And we live in our own created reality that is not reality at all. And I think, I'm going to guess, like me, all of you have had times in your lives where you've lived in some delusion that what you're doing isn't right. You've been able to rationalize it. And somewhere down the line, you realize, I'm really not happy anymore. And when you do the soul searching, you're finally honest about what you're doing. It's not right. And you need to change your life. And then you have to do that. All right. So this is all great. If we believe that, I think it's, I went by. Okay. So peace and goodwill towards other is what's preferred, right? Is there anyone in this room that doesn't desire peace in your life? Peace in your family? Peace in your community, your country, the world? Is there anyone that doesn't want peace? Who would deny that, right? And you want people to treat you with goodness and respect, and you know that's what you need to do, right? Well, if we all agree on that, then why is the opposite so prevalent all the time? I mean, what's going on in our world right now? What are we all worried about? Some pretty serious stuff, right? And we're responsible for that as a country in a large part just by what we chose to do, whatever our reasons. And now we're waiting to see what others are going to do. What was it? We were promised a Christmas present from the dictator in North Korea, right? Or something in the new year. And now we're told to get ready because Iran's going to make sure they get their revenge on us, huh? Well, look at our own families. As much as we want this, how many examples in our own family are things that are dysfunctional, not satisfying, there's not peace? How is that possible? If we all agree that that's what's preferred, can you give me an explanation?
Selfishness?
Yes. Where does that come from? Using moral language? We call this original sin. But please, get your childhood concept of how it was first explained to you. Let's jettison that now. It's not helpful as adults. It was a good introduction. But the Adam and Eve story is really like God teaching children. And we use this to teach our children. But it's way more than that. Okay? Original sin. We talk about it being washed away at baptism, right? And that's true. But remember, that's the result of what's more important. What happens at baptism? New life. Water, new life. We become God's sons and daughters. And in doing so, we get disconnected from this prevalence and pressure of sin and evil in our world that sometimes we're aware of, sometimes we're not even aware of, and it does damage to us. We get disconnected from that and we get plugged into Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And it's our choice now to stay connected or not, okay? So what do we mean by original sin? It's an inclination towards evil. We know what's right and wrong in our hearts. But we get tempted all the time to do what's wrong. And how many times do we give in to that temptation? Small or large. And none of us is perfect. How about the habitual things we do wrong? And we don't even want to talk about people because it's shameful. We feel shame. And again, they can be small, they can be large. And we work really hard on, especially New Year's resolutions. And we do well for a while, then we fall back in those same habits. Where does that come from? It's original sin. It's this constant pressure of sin
that is a result of human beings choosing something other than God. It comes from, it's evil.
And in the story, the devil's part of that. Absolutely, we believe in the devil. We believe in evil. But we also believe that evil got its foothold by our choice and by fallen angels choosing something other than God. That's what Satan and all the fallen angels did. Okay? Let's just distinguish a few terms. Oh, let me go back to this. This is helpful. People always tell me they like this. Okay. So, why do we baptize our children as babies? To wash away the sin. Seriously? What baby do you see as evil and sinful? Not even know right or wrong. They're perfectly innocent. Why are we washing away sin? Well, again, the metaphor I said, disconnecting them from a world where evil is a pressure all the time and connecting them to Christ. That's a good one. Here's the one that people really like. It's not perfectly theologically, sacramental theology, but it's pretty good. And basically, for all intents and purposes, for us to connect our lives to, this is a really good definition. Why do we baptize our infants? Same reason we inoculate our children. Do you wait till your children have a disease, a serious disease, where they could die or get very sick, could damage them for life, before you're going to do anything? Or do you try to prevent that? Well, except for the non-vaxxers these days, right? Most people still choose to vaccinate. And those that don't are endangering the rest of our children, right? Or those that haven't yet been vaccinated. So, it's the same thing. I know other Christian traditions say people need to be conscious and then consciously choose Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yeah, that's going to happen in life at some point in time. But why wait to have the grace of the Holy Spirit and become a son and daughter of Jesus Christ and be disconnected from sin in the world and connected to Jesus, son and daughter of God the Father? Why wait for all that? We as parents want to choose that gift for our children, and we will raise them into understanding of that. As they grow in their ability to understand, we'll continue to give them a more and more mature understanding that it's all about this relationship with God and living this. But we don't want to wait for all the good effects until something serious happens to our kids. Make sense? Glad I didn't blow by that one. Okay, a few terms here. You've heard these before? Raise your hand if you've heard of venial sins. Okay, raise your hands if you've heard of mortal sins. Not team, I know team knows. Okay? How about sins of omission? Sins of commission. New occasions of sin? That's our life, right? Okay, a venial sin is a, one of a better term, smaller sin. We don't separate ourselves from God. We don't totally turn our backs on God. We turn a little bit from God. Instead of God being the total focus of our life, we're living some selfishness, and these things that aren't part of God, we're paying attention to. Okay? Small sins. What's the problem of venial sins? Small sins make it easier to do larger sins. It has to do with our character. Bad habits, small bad habits, lead to big bad habits. Not only that, bad habits take away from good habits. Right? If we have a bad habit, then there's a virtue we're not living. A good habit, okay? Mortal sins. Mortal is like Mortal Kombat, right? Where you're going to die. You have a chance of dying. Yeah, this is where we put our lifeline, our connection to Jesus, our inheritance as sons and daughters of God the Father, our inheritance is living forever in God's love in heaven. We put that on the line. Because what we do is we turn our back on God. We break the relationship. It's such a serious sin that we disconnect ourselves from God. We can do that if we choose. Thank God for the sacrament of reconciliation. Because in that sacrament, all we need to do is turn back to God and ask for forgiveness, and God forgives us, heals us, and those affected by our sins, and then takes those sins away, and we're right back on our baptism with those sins. That's the power of reconciliation. Those of you who are new, as you're going to be listening to the digital recordings, you'll get a more in-depth explanation about that. Sins of omission are things that we don't do that we should. Okay? If you see someone who's about to take a child and abduct them, and you just stood there and went, oh my God, that's sad. That mom and dad are going to miss that child. you don't do something to prevent that, that's a sin of omission. Okay? You see somebody being beaten up by a group, and you drive right by. It may not be safe for you to get out, but you sure have a cell phone. Call 911. Honk your horn. Try to do something to stop, right? It's a sin of omission. Sin of commission is doing something you know is wrong. And by the way, the definition of sin isn't just doing something that's wrong. It's doing something you know is wrong, and you choose to do it anyway. You can end up doing something that's wrong, but it wasn't your choice. Either you didn't understand it was wrong, or it wasn't your intention, and something bad happened. Like looking down at your cell phone as you're driving and running a red light and hitting somebody and killing them. You didn't intend to kill them. It was a murder. It was manslaughter. Because you were irresponsible, and it led to somebody's death. You see the difference? We can go into a lot more conversation. We just wouldn't have the time tonight. So a more mature perspective here is, rather than seeing sin as breaking the laws, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, it's viewed as a breakdown in relationships with God and with others. Self-centeredness, selfishness. All right, there's personal sin and there's social sin. So social sin are things that are embedded in our society in which we live, which are wrong. They are absolutely wrong. And if we understand right or wrong, and we live in a society that's doing something that is absolutely wrong, and we do nothing, we participate in that social sin. Probably the most dramatic example would be Nazi Germany. Lots of people didn't agree with what was going on, with the intimidation, the rounding up of Jews, and not just Jews, a lot of Catholics and people of faith who stood up to the powers that be, Hitler and Nazi Germany, and they were rounded up and put in concentration camps just as fast as if you were Jewish. We had a lot of saints that came out of that because they died for what they believed in. Okay, but a lot of people afterwards were interviewed in German society and said, did you think this was right? And they said, no, but there was nothing we could do. Okay, there's no better way for social sin to run rampant than for good people to think they can do nothing and do nothing. Okay. All right. We'll explore that in 3 weeks, actually. So the next 2 weeks, we'll look at moral issues. Then we'll take a look at this whole idea of social sin, and we'll look at, for 2 weeks, some social issues that would fall within that category. Okay. Real quick. Moral decision-making. It's like anything. You can't just go through life willy-nilly without reflecting on things, having knowledge, reflecting, and then taking the time to make good decisions. Morality is the most important example of that. Okay? So here's the steps. Very simple. You need to have knowledge. You need to know what's right or wrong. And the Bible is a great resource for that, but guess what? The last book in the Bible was written somewhere around 120 AD. Well, there's a lot of social evils that have developed in our world through technology and other things that didn't exist then. So how do we know what's right or wrong? By reflecting deeply on the moral truths that God's revealed in Scripture and through the wisdom of good people through the ages. We call that our traditional moral teaching in the church, men and women, holy men and women. And so that's how we know. And by applying the basic truths, we understand whatever technology brings us that's new, what's right or wrong. But it does no good to have all that knowledge in your mind if you don't stop and discern when you're in situations. You really think and reflect. Then you got to make your judgment, what's right or wrong. All of that takes time and effort, and all of that goes for naught. It's a waste if you're not willing then to act right. And then you got to do the right thing. Even if you have to pay a price sometimes. Even if you're not popular. Even if you're persecuted. Even if people are going to take things away from you or make you suffer. You have to live with them. Okay. All right, next week, here's our moral issues. What does the church teach about LGBTQ? I don't have all that stuff up there, but whatever is politically correct now. Okay? So we're talking about sexuality and how it's lived in people's lives other than heterosexuality. Okay? What does the church really teach Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, I know what the church teaches, and I don't agree. Okay, wait a minute. We're going to look at really what the church teaches, not what you've heard the church teaches. Some of our understanding is incomplete. Some of it's false. We're going to understand what the church teaches and why. So we have knowledge. And we're going to talk about it here, these issues. We're going to discern. Why would the church teach that? And how is that connected to the prime directive? That the most important thing is life and treating all human beings and God's creation with respect, because there's the dignity of who we are and where we came from.
Okay?
What does the church teach about infertility and what's right or what's wrong in dealing with issues of infertility? And then contraception. What does the church teach about that? Think you might be interested in those topics? Conversations that are hot in our society all the time, right? Well, let's make sure we have the right knowledge about these. Let's talk about them in the context of faith. Let's faith share, because I guarantee you that all three of these issues touch your life, directly or indirectly. Whether it's your own life, your own husband, sons, daughters, cousins, friends, these issues touch our lives, right? And the most important thing is always to respect the goodness of the other person, no matter what their choices are, okay? But we want to make choices that are true to our faith, to who we are, but always respecting others, okay? You don't want to miss it. And team, I need some help with this, remember, so the email that you're going to get for this week and next week, let's share this.
Okay.
Questions? This was a lot in one night. But it was laying the foundation. We got to do it right. Any questions that are burning? You know you can always come and talk to me afterwards too, if you don't want to bring it up. Sure. Remember, if you're new tonight, I do want to touch base with you real quick before you leave.
All right. Well, let's end this.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the gift of this new year, for time, for the opportunity to live this gift of our life and to be touched by the goodness of the lives of others. However much time you grant us in this year, may we make the most of it. May we see your presence in all people, in all of your creation, and respect it deeply, and live in the truth according to the virtues you give us of faith, hope, and love. We pray this in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may you go with God's blessing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See you next week, if not sooner. Oh, if you're new, you're going to meet with me now, but after tonight, we have this really, really important ministry that we want to introduce you to. It's the ministry of the chairs and tables. We put everything away. So Deacon Don sets it up, but you all help me put it away.
Sean tonight, Miss Sean.
More important than you didn't communicate. So I always communicate when people miss, so I'll check on.
I just noticed that you missed.
I will tell them that.
Oh, thanks, sir.
I can have my whole mother.
Just what color?
Like a sheep.
My mic is perfect.
I never get that. I had a girl, and she was
so said that there is going to be a sheep for it.
Oh, really?
I have one for the whole.
No. So this is for the truth.
I'm not
a
bad one.
The only thing I've had to do is we ask people for, let's see, I should say this to everybody. Yeah. Kiliana? Come on over. I appreciate your help. Come on over here. And okay, so the question was, so there is a fee for the brother.
There's not a fee for the brother. The Bible's written from the parish.
I tried, and I might have already. explained in a little bit of detail for a little bit, depending on when I took it. But, so,
you don't have to handle it.
And there's food and everything involved, and the church pays for that. $60 coming into the church, they would gladly take it. That's $60.
This year, for the first time that we're doing packing, right?
Yeah. So for people, we need people to help anyway. But particularly if you know you may not be able to afford $60, or if you just want to pay for it. If you work, then we're going to take whatever we make, divide by the number of people who work, and then credit goes to that $60. So then you only have to pay the balance. So happy they have me. It's like, no, we don't support the program. So the church makes up the difference in what I graduate. Okay. So that's included in $60 for a first week.
Are there any questions that
you want to
Most important to really catch up. Scripture, prayer, introduction, sacrifice, and then the seven sacraments, which are covered over four nights. Three of the nights we double up. Eucharist is only on three nights. Okay, so when you do those seven, you'll be in a really strong place. Yeah. Add a little notebook. Write down questions.
There's a PowerPoint that will match the questions that you have, things that seem to be complete,
things that you're impressed with that you want to discuss some more. You understand what it's like, I want to talk about
that.
And then we're going to have at least one Saturday, probably two, where we'll sit together. Because I guarantee you, I can sit with you and you benefit from that. And when we sit together and hear each other's questions and share examples in our lives, that connects way more. Like when we did that. Okay. It's a little bit more meat and not as much conversation, but it was laying the foundation. Next week's going to be a lot of conversation. And it'll be introduction, this is what we believe, why do you think we believe it, and then you're going to get assigned one of the three topics. You're going to talk why you think the church teaches that based on what you've heard, what you've experienced in RCIA. You're going to talk about your own opinions and feelings, and then you're going to bring that back to the whole group. And then the team and I will round that out to make sure everybody walks away from here knowing what exactly the church teaches them before people have their own conscience check.
Okay.
What's your impression tonight? Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel welcome? And lots of people came in at different times. You're not the first person that came in before the whole group started.
We probably had 18 the first night, and we're at
35.
So we've got. Cool. You said that this tonight was going to be the last night here. We're going to be here tomorrow.
No, we're going to be here every night because we fit. It was because not everybody had the and it really depends on how many. I think we can still fit. I prefer this room for a lot of reasons I won't go into. But when we need to move over there, we will. I'm going to get more calls in the next few weeks. And there's going to be a point of no return where I go. You can join, but there's no way you're going to be able to commence. So please kind of join and start if you want, or begin in the summer. And some people will just begin in the summer. But once, if people start bringing more and more of their sponsors regularly, okay. Positive experience?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting?
Yes.
Okay. We don't want it to be a class. We want it to be an experience. Was it more of an experience than a class?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was great. Well, you were already asking questions too. First time. So appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
And then if you are also involved with marriage prep, then if you haven't already set up a time to meet, we need to do that.
Yes.
So if you want to do that tonight, otherwise? We've already met. Did we set up another time for marriage prep?
We are
going
to hold off on marriage prep
until after. So after RCL. All right. Okay. You and Anna, talk to Anna, and then let's set up a time to spend and talk about her.
Okay.
and how that works with our CIA, and then you can decide if you want to do a marriage prep or you want to do it at another
parish.
Okay. And then you can let me know probably sooner than later if you're going to be at Santa Clara.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess the last time we met, we ended with speaking with Deacon Michael first, and I emailed him Thursday. So I'm still plugging away at getting to. I don't see why we. Than doing their 3-day retreat,
no,
whatever
it's
it is.
Not, it's not,
okay.
Hopefully, not in any trouble connecting to you, Michael.
To call his assistant.
If it seems like it becomes difficult to, if you feel this way, and I'm not quite, I don't mean this in words,
right?
You can at any point in time. This should be something that really helps you to get back. So if you're not feeling better. Well, I love parishes. And just communicate with the priest who's going to marry.
Right.
Is that a, which would ultimately be the priest?
Right.
And if that's what you, if you get to that point, you just have a conversation with them. And as long as there's not egos involved,
we're not that way here. We have some of the people involved with it. They say, hey, we're going to do all the prep there, but we're getting married here for whatever reason. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to be in communication with that person, or the priest does, whoever the Christian is, because when you go for the marriage prep, you'll understand why that is.
Right.
Because if
I'm not married, if I'm the one marrying you, and I don't really know you, and I'm married with you, I can't stand to witness unless the person who knows you can say, no hesitation. Basically, what they're going to say is, I've spent enough time with them, they understand the sacrament, and so they're going to live a life for them. And there's not an individual personality sort of making a couple of them. Okay. I trust you, and then I'll stand up as a true father.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to call
lots of actions.
I know. I'll call tomorrow, and hopefully by the end of the week, I've got some type of...
I know they're a huge parish. They're very busy.
Yes.
They're a little larger than we are. Not any more busy than we are.
I can just say, no judgment on them.
For our pastor and our parish, faith formation and sacrament prep is the number one thing. For the reason we heard all tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I get your faith.
Yeah.
I am the pastor's representative to make sure that we are moving forward and everything is in place for real quality information. So you get a good response.
Right, right, yeah. Okay.
Good.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good
evening.
Thanks, Mike.
Absolutely.
As always.
It got colder outside.
It was warm today.
It
was 74 today.
No, it wasn't.
I had shorts underneath sweats because I was helping the baby. It's like, I can wear shorts for a while.
Okay, here, it was Patricia will probably throw in stuff there. But,
oh, wow, okay.
Okay, so that's that. And I just talked to Art, and Art just walked away and says, how much?
Art, in the class?
Yeah.
He's the owner of Art's Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And so he says, tell me how many. He says, I get eggs real cheap.
Okay, I get eggs for free.
Okay.
Because the connection through many meals,
yeah.
We can tap on that for eggs. But I have a list of other things.
Okay, if you give me a list.
That's a great idea. Okay.
Because he said, how much pancake mix do you want? Because he has it in bag.
Oh my God, that's what we need.
Yeah, pancake mixes, he says.
Oh, we don't even have to mix it. Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so when the email goes out,
yeah.
when you respond,
remind me to send you the list.
Yes.
Or maybe I should just, hopefully I'll remember to just put it out there and people can see,
everyone can see what we need.
I'll give it to Art and say, where Art can possibly.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think of that, and I knew he had a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, this is why he came out and I talked to him. He says, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. He says, I can get everything you got.
I hope he understands that's going to be this year, and every year afterwards, we're going to come to him as an alum and go, hey, Art!
Yeah, but you see, we spent a lot of money at his restaurant.
Okay. Well, and you know what? We'll advertise. We'll free advertising for them.
Yeah.
You know, I'll even put something in the bulletin as a thank you so people can see.